Hey everyone, Marcus Parks here to give you an update on the Sausage Fest coming up on October 5th. The whole show is going to start upstairs at the Creek in the Cave at 1093 Jackson Avenue in Long Island City, Queens at 5 p.m. And that's going to go until 10 p.m. That's 5 hours of stand-up featuring your favorite Cave Comedy Radio performers. And at the same time, downstairs, we're going to be having live podcasts from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. And then the Cowmen, the band that you're listening to in the background, and features myself and Holden McNeely of the Roundtable of Gentlemen, is going to be playing a set at 10 p.m. So, hey, see you there, puppet.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Ooh, coolie, coolie.
Are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, slap my chest. Got a big, thick chest.
God. Fat on fat violence. He's been doing push-ups.
Big, thick python arms, man. I got big, wobbly meats underneath my hard, hard chest. Squeeze them.
Welcome to the show, everyone.
Can see.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
I can see.
I'm not envious of what your eyes can see, Marcus.
Marcus. He hasn't worn a shirt for the last three episodes.
Well, they've been very good, so maybe that's a good luck charm. Welcome to the show. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. We're joined by a newly muscular Henry Zebrowski.
Big arms, Henry Zebrowski. Yeah, lifted my own weight. Yeah, I got all of this chest meat is all thick and my nipples are hard. Can you see him?
Oh, no. He's the camera's a little too low. Stand up a little bit. Come on, stand up. Oh, they are hard. Ooh, they're so hard. Look at him. He's tickling
wee,
them.
Wee, 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 wee.
I've
that was
never
me
been,
playing with them like radio dials.
I've never been so happy to see the Apple logo on the back of a computer in my life. Thank God I'm not looking at that screen.
We did it. We have finally made it to October. I have needed October in my life so hard. There is nobody scary in L.A.
No. Oh, there's some scary people out there. All right, let's talk about the wild and wonderful world of weird and bizarre deaths, huh?
That's today's subject.
We have really hit, I think with this episode, it's been a while that I feel like we've done something that's like truly brutal, except for the fact we did just cover Chikatilo, and that just shows how warped my brain has become.
Right, yeah. I think everything that we've done is considered fairly brutal.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is going to be especially brutal. I kind of hit me in the middle of the night of like, now that we're it's Satan season. It's time for us to head towards the leathery. You know, we're all going to be there on Farmer Joe's farm when the big leathery egg that's taken over his whole fucking barn cracks open, and it's Besimov, like, you know, the seventh heriot of Satan himself. You know,
does it have to be on a farm, or can it be in a more urban area?
I'm hoping farm.
Oh, okay,
let's at least give him some care.
Yeah, you just
beforehand have some chickens around and stuff like that.
Yeah, make it feel
so
right.
So yes, we're building up the Halloween season, and I was like, well, what is a good way to put people in a more of a disgusted frame of mind and a scary frame of mind than thinking of like, what's the worst way you can fucking die?
That's right. What are the worst ways you can die? I didn't know before before learning about the content of today's episode that there are different ways. And certainly better and worse ways to get off the face of the earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Woo.
And we're going to start with a pretty bad one.
Yeah.
Death by embarrassment.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Did I forget my pants and I have to give a public speech? I'm embarrassed.
Well, my God. Did I sit in the pie? Did I sit in the family pie? I've got berries on my bottom.
You can't actually die of embarrassment.
Oh, my.
When stress or anxiety levels rise, there's a surge of adrenaline that enters the bloodstream and it can actually kill you.
Mm.
It can cause the heart to cease, cause cardiac arrest. It's the same way you can die from fright or from sexual excitement.
Ooh, this
so
is
you can
why...
die from getting hard?
If you get too hard, yeah.
Yeah, you can only get a
then
certain amount of hard.
Chikatilo was I guess Chikatilo was always going to be safe then.
He would have lived forever if the Moscow, if the Russian government didn't kill him.
This is my question too. This is a pussy way to die. Correct. Well, you have to be a pussy to die by embarrassment.
Yes, you couldn't be a stand-up comedian. That's for certain, because it's a whole life full of embarrassment. Death by embarrassment.
Well, you've ever seen the weird sexual effect? There's a weird sexual fetish that is also built into embarrassment, like seeing people embarrassed, like mid-fart and stuff like that, and people jerk off to it.
I could see how that's erotic.
Or like busting into like a woman's house while she's all like, I don't know what she's doing. She's like cleaning the things, and she's wearing a diaper. She's wearing a diaper, and she's cleaning the oven, and then you surprise her, and she's all embarrassed. I can't imagine how you'd find that sexually arousing.
Hot stuff. You do seem to be as hard. Your penis seems to be about as hard as your nipples right now. I will say that, Henry.
I just want to see a woman fart. I just want to see her fart.
Would you possibly have one if you did see a woman fart?
I could be having one.
That's great. I mean, death by embarrassment. That's why I always carry Mentos in my back pocket. So I can just pop one of those and everything is going to go as smooth as can be. And I'll get that record deal after all.
Well, a much more terrifying way of dying is something that all of us have thought about at one time or another. Dying by plane crash. Right. Now, I've never really thought about the logistics of dying in a plane crash.
It turns out dying by plane explosion, not that bad.
Much better. No. Instant. Right. So when you're in a plane, first of all, you're about 6 miles in the sky.
Right.
And if you start going in free fall, first what sets in is probably hypoxia, which means that all of the oxygen removes itself from your brain, so you're going to pass out. But you'll also probably wake up, and when you wake up, you're going to be going down towards the ground at 120 miles an hour for a full 2 to 3 minutes before you hit the ground.
Well, you got a lot of thinking time, and that's good. You can make your final phone calls and cancel that pizza you had. It's going to be delivered to you.
I think
a
lot of people believe that you know, you'd sit and you'd like contemplate like, what are the things that I remember that I love to do? Right. Like my family, I remember my daughter, I remember my dog, I remember, you know, the time I hit the home run of the baseball game. But I think most of that 2 to 3 minutes is going to be spent going like,
yeah, well, you suckers are screaming, someone's eating all the pretzels. This guy right over here, one single packet? I don't think so, buddy. This thing's going down.
The 2 to 3 minutes has to be the most terrifying thing on the face of the planet.
It seems like it would go by pretty slow. When you're slower, 2 to 3 minutes in your life's little lifespan.
But you probably got a good chance of getting a girl to flash you.
Oh yeah. You know what I mean? If you want to join the Mile High Club, I think there's a good chance that there's some potential there.
So I heard on this podcast that it's going to take us about 2 minutes to get to the ground. So hand job?
You want to do it? Yeah.
Hey, let me just suck on your feet. I mean, come on. Finally, the pressure's off. I can just ask.
Yeah.
Can I just suck on your beautiful feet, you huge woman?
No one's going to be there to remember until they go through the corpses as the plane crashes and just amongst the rubble is a man sucking on a woman's foot.
Oh, no, the man in 3D has toe mouth.
He could have
died of that before, but luckily the plane obliterated all around him.
But we also learned about when the Malaysian flight went down, we also learned that a plane can simultaneously fall apart. A new fear. That's a fear of just like a plane can literally just, because they were talking about it matter-of-factly on CNN, just being like, it's like, sometimes there's a thing called this automatic destabilization where the plane just turns into confetti and there's nothing you can do about it, and it happens randomly.
You can't fly that confetti airlines. It's a bunch of clowns running that thing. And of course, the plane that went down after 9/11 here in Queens, the back of it fell off.
Yeah.
That's something you want.
Yeah.
I always say I would love to board a plane where the back stays on. That's what I like the best.
Yeah, I think if I ever have a private plane, what I will do is I will have a mechanic just walk around the plane with me and just like have him jump up and down on the wings and on the back just to make sure it's solid.
Yeah,
of course.
The old hammer test. That's good.
So say you're in a plane crash and you somehow miraculously survive. You make it to a desert island. Unfortunately, the desert island is just a big rock. There's no vegetables on there to eat. There's no plant life. There's no animal life. What are you going to do? You're going to starve to death.
Ooh, I was going to say find a volleyball. Put a face on that volleyball and have a new buddy. That's a reference to Castaway.
I even have a hard time just the hour before I eat dinner. So I can't imagine starving to death. I get hangry. Like, I'm a hangry person.
I hate what you just said. That's like a, it's like a commercial for, what's one of those fat restaurants people love to go? Denny's.
Yeah, Denny's, Applebee's.
Yeah, are you getting hangry? And it's just a
picture
hangry, of...
better pre-eat before right. hitting the Denny's.
Well, that was one of the worst uses of that Ray Rice elevator video I've ever seen. Ray Rice, you getting hangry?
I don't think someone's got a case of the nibbles.
This Denny's ad might not make it to air.
So a body, if you didn't know, a body can live for up to 60 days without food.
You know, I was thinking when I was reading that, Shivo. Remember Terry Shivo, Death yeah. Watch, where they took the tube out of her, and we live in this humane world where you can't kill her, but you can watch her slowly devolve.
Oh, my God. If a day doesn't go by, I don't think of Terry Shivo.
I can't not.
Oh, I can't even. I wouldn't wish such a thing upon any one of my enemies.
Yeah, she was eaten by the inside, eaten by your own body.
Sounds like something your mother would say, Henry.
Yes. Every mother did say that when it Every came mother. Down to Shivo.
Oh, my God. Terry Shivo. Henry Thomas, if it ever comes to that, if I'm yeah. ever a vegetable, I want you to get your father's handgun and I want you to stick it in my fucking mouth. I want you to blow out my brains in the backyard. And I want you to do it, Henry Thomas. Yeah. Literally had that conversation with my mother.
I think that's
continue with starving to death.
Your mother is smart and wise. Yes. Yeah, Shivo Watch. That was a reality show for a couple of months.
Here yeah, it was, man.
And that is a boring webcam.
It was a very boring webcam, but people loved it.
So after less than a week, the body starts to feed off stored fat for energy.
But this is good, though, because this is where you really get your weight loss. And everyone, the girls say, oh, you're looking so hot and so attractive, Ben. Oh, I'm so happy that we can finally date now. You don't just have a great personality. You've also got a penis I can find.
But before the month is up, actually, you will be losing 18% of your starting weight.
That's good.
Yeah, for you, yeah. that's great. Yeah. For me, I'm dead.
That's good.
That's good. That's good, though. That's good.
But then you wouldn't have anyone to run the board on the podcast.
That's bad.
It's fine. We can train a pig to do it. It's so easy to do. I seen what you do. You just go beep, doop, beep, 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 beep. It's easy.
That's true. That's a good point, Henry.
And then, of course, eventually your body starts to consume its own muscle and organs in order to get the energy that it needs to survive.
Right.
And that is how you actually die. Your body essentially eats itself.
Yeah, kind of cool the way the body does that, though, huh?
It is kind of cool.
It's bizarre.
We're also going to see several, because you realize your body has, it happens a lot in many of these weird deaths, is that your body has these white blood cells, and what mm-hmm. it does is it protects your immune system protects you with using white blood cells. But if it gets confused and thinks that you're the problem, it kills you instead.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. We're just bags filled with blood cells, and the blood cells are ones that have all the power.
Yeah, they make all the important decisions.
They're the internal
yeah,
shadow
it's like
government.
All of our organs are just kamikazes ready to die for the cause.
Yeah.
And you're just like, guys, can we please at least hold on for a little bit longer?
Yeah, we're not safe even in our own bodies. Dangerous.
Well, let's move on to some particularly painful and excruciating executions.
Ooh, all right.
Well, first of all, let's start with crushed to death. Oh. Of course, once the body is crushed, what happens is toxins start building up at the crush site, which includes large amounts of potassium, which can cause cardiac arrest, and it also produces myoglobin, which can result in kidney failure.
Myoglobin?
Yes, myoglobin.
Oh, wow.
Myoglobin, oigadoigle. Which is a problem, which is what you'll be screaming when your sternum is crushed
oigadoigle.
By an elephant.
Oigadoigle.
Yep, in the late 19th century, the criminal was tied to the leg of the elephant by his waist and taken for a little run around the city. Mm. And after that, the criminal was made to kneel and place his head on a stone, and then the elephant crushed the accused head with his foot.
But I don't want to crush his head today. I just want to be a circus elephant. The crowd loves me.
They should dress it up like a melon, because yeah. elephants love stomping melons.
Yes, they
That's
do.
That's one thing I know. Can also, if you're stone right now, I'd like you to just imagine your head lying on the block
mm-hmm.
as a fucking big old elephant. It's like, doom, boom, 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 boom. And there's the magic, because it's a slow crush.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It just hits your head, and then it just like...
Hey, can you hurry it up? Can you hurry it up there, elephant?
I'm moving as fast as I can.
The problem is, sir, is that you're wearing that huge hat.
The pork pie hat saved the man.
So now we've got, let's stay in the realm of execution by animals. Mm. Now in 1893, the Negus of Abyssinia, he discovered that one of his servants was plotting to kill him, so he sentenced the man to have his tongue cut out, his right hand amputated, and then he was turned loose in the desert to be attacked and eaten by hyenas. Now, this is how hyenas kill humans. What they do to smaller prey, they just shake them and they break until it breaks the spine. Right. But on human victims, they just hop on and start eating you while you're still alive.
They're great to have in the audience, though, if you want to do a type five before they kill you. You know, they are always.
And also, can you imagine if one of them still had the voice of Whoopi Goldberg from The Lion King? That would be fun. And that would be funny and irreverent, like The View is. Until she started fucking chewing at your guts and you start screaming like a maniac.
I would still rather have that happen than watch The View.
Actually. Oh, The View's great.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hit on a sensitive subject, Mr. Parks. Good Lord.
Listen to page 7 for more opinions on how great The View is.
All right.
On November 13th in the year 1002, Ethelred the Unready ordered his people to rise up and slay all the...
You see, if you're going to have a nickname, let's not be about how like hesitant you are as a leader.
I'm not ready to lead. Vote for me. Okay.
Ethelred the Unready, he ordered people to rise up and slay all the Danes in England, and a massacre took place in which the children of Danish women were buried up to their waists in the ground, and then they set mastiff dogs to maul the children to death.
I'm going
to
say I think he was ready. That seems about, that seems about perfect. This man was a king?
This man, I mean, he was Ethelred the Unready.
All right, whatever the hell that means.
Ethelred. Oh, God, can you imagine also, like, the teeth just, like, scraping on your fucking scalp? Pulling all the fucking meat off the top of your head as it's going, rrr, 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 and you're just going, nice puppy, nice puppy.
Of course, there are pythons and anacondas. They usually don't. They say that, you know, you get killed from being squeezed to death. That's usually cardiac arrest from the lack of oxygen. But occasionally, snakes will begin to swallow their victims after the squeeze while the people are still alive.
That's why I never go out into the woods or the forest without your flute. The flute is the only instrument that can charm the snake.
Until the snake shows up, and before that, you were the most obnoxious fucking person on the vacation.
That's right.
Because you're the asshole with the flute.
Right. Everyone's mocking you and laughing at you for your vest and your bizarre hat and your dumb curly shoes.
And speaking of snakes,
this is another sexual fetish, which is getting consumed by giant snakes.
Yeah,
so
boar.
Half of these things so far that we've covered would just make someone bone hard until they're dead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would assume probably even getting stepped on by the elephant. That might have made somebody quite aroused.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of people that are in a crush porn.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. People
Oh, my God, some people, yeah, that would make them give them the most righteous bone they've ever had. They'd be shooting ropes all over their tunic halves. And when they saw the elephant coming out of the thing, because they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to get so fucking crushed here, dude.
Yeah, man.
Staying on snakes, the Swedish, they had a method of execution called the Cave of Roses.
Ooh, that sounds like a great cave.
In which the victim would be confined to a pitch-black cave filled with numerous snakes and poisonous reptiles to be stung and bitten to death.
The cave was named on opposite day.
Yeah, I was thinking more of a Valentine's Day at the Olive Garden kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just a pit full of snakes.
I thought that there was going to be a net all-you-could-eat pasta bowl. There's the never-ending soup and bread. God.
Yeah, and what kind of spaghetti is this? It's moving and crawling up my leg. Little snakes.
Now, the Igbo tribe of Nigeria, they sentence members of their tribe who commit adultery to be taken in front of the entire village, stripped naked, tied together, and forced to have sex with each other to the sounds of drums and whistles.
See, this isn't bad so far.
That's the first part of it.
Yeah.
Eventually, the victims would be dragged to the banks of a sacred pool where the smell of blood having attracted crocodiles, the two would be hurled into the water to be eaten.
Oh, not to have sex with the crocodiles, huh?
No, not that.
But also, God, how sexy is that? Yeah. How sexy is to know it's just like we get to pierce the void one last time.
I know.
And it's just like, and I'm gonna pound you around until we're pulled apart by crocodiles. And she's gonna be like, ooh, you'll make my boobies turn right around. Yeah. And he's just like, yeah, let's go, baby. Yeah, this is our best date ever, baby.
Yeah, you can do any kind of fetish thing you want. I suppose you're tied up, so hopefully you're into that. I think that is kind of nice that they let them have the public sex.
Yeah, you think that the public sex is nice?
It's better than just having them being eaten by alligators. Yeah,
you know what, I think you do make a good point there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're laughing at him or something. I mean, if the guy is a small ding dong, that's embarrassing.
Yeah it is.
But I would assume
they're probably, I think they throw things at him as well. It doesn't seem like a fun party for the people.
You'd be amazed what you can spit into a sexual fetish if you have to. Old tomatoes can get somebody going.
Let's move on to just some generally weird executions.
I do want to say this about snakes. There was that story about the woman who would lie next to her python snake, and it kept on getting larger and larger, and she thought it was so cute. Don't do that, because what it's doing is measuring your body, and as soon as it's longer, taller than you, it eats you.
Wow.
So do not cuddle with your snake. It is a reptile, and it wants to eat you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So let's move on to some just generally weird executions. By the way, I got all these from this wonderful book that I have by Jeffrey Abbott. It's called Execution, the Guillotine, the Pendulum, the Thousand Cuts, the Spanish Donkey, and 66 Other Ways of Putting Someone to Death.
It's also called the Don't Talk to Me on the Subway book.
Boy, people do not talk to me on the subway when I read this book.
Definitely
the Spanish
not.
Donkey is also an amazing Mexican restaurant here in Los Angeles. And you really should. You guys got to come down and check it out. It's incredible.
I know, the Spanish Donkey. Donkey sounds like something you get rewarded with for your birthday at Chili's. You know, like, oh, better give him the Spanish donkey.
It's just a sopping wet pinata just full of rice and beans.
The pinata burrito special.
First up.
I wanted the regular pinata, Daddy. You're getting a goddamn Spanish donkey because it's a Mexican-themed birthday. We're out at Chiquita Nera and we're having a good time. All right? Your mother left.
I mean, it's difficult when the visitation rights fall on the kid's birthday. You know?
It's hard.
Every other Thursday.
I've never planned a birthday alone before. I'm a drinking man. I work at the girder factory.
The girder factory. Probably a good business to be in at these days.
Next up is execution by gunpowder. In France, on February 22nd, 1704, Protestants were attacked by Catholics, and during the atrocities that followed, some of the women were captured, and this is a quote from writings at the time, said, Henry, would you like to take this?
They were first violated, then had their hands tied and were tied between trees with their heads hanging and their legs apart. While they were in that position, they opened up their bodies, placed their powder horns up inside them, and touched and matched the powders. It boom, limb from limb. It was crazy.
Wow. Just sounds like a failed turducken on Thanksgiving. You know?
Absolutely.
The same conflict also saw prisoners having their mouths filled with gunpowder and having their heads blown to pieces.
The taste of gunpowder is probably not very good.
It's probably awful.
I think this is one of the better ones, though, compared to what we've discussed previously so far in the episode. This one, you're just a human bullet. And you just get you go up pretty quick.
It's instant. Yeah. It's the anticipation that's the worst on that. But isn't
Absolutely.
That always the thing?
Yeah,
with executions,
so.
The anticipation.
Anticipation.
Maybe you can.
And again, the problem is rock hard.
Yeah. Oh,
any
yeah.
one of these people, if they just happen to like this, if you wanted to be a human musket, boom, that's your fetish. Congratulations.
There are some people online, on YouTube especially, they've made a career out of drinking Drano and things like that. It's possible that you just swallow it down.
Yeah.
You put some gunpowder in your mouth, see if you can take it. At some point, they'll run out.
There's also the nail through the ear.
Ah.
In 1929, the tyrant who ruled Afghanistan, foregoing his usual method of tying his victim's body to the muzzle of a cannon and firing it, crucified an enemy to the ground and then drove a long nail through his ear and into his brain.
So, did they learn everything from, like, Wile E. Coyote, Roadrunner
yeah,
cartoons?
Yeah, they both sound like Looney Tunes deaths.
Right.
There's also necklacing. This is a practice that we used by gangs in South Africa during recent years.
Mm-hmm.
It consists of placing a car tire around the neck of a bound victim and setting it on fire. The intensity of the burning material, the fumes penetrating the lungs, and the effect of the molten rubber searing the body made for a slow and horrendous death.
Yeah, that's why all the roads are so messed up. All the cars are riding on the rims. There's no more tires over there.
A lot of death in South Africa.
Oh, yes.
And jewelry shopping is a gambit.
Yeah. You never really know what you're about to go do. You're about to go shop for a necklace. You better hope you're on good terms with your boyfriend.
Yep. It could get real hot under that collar.
And then there is being sewn up in an animal's belly. This one is particularly awful. This was in Greece in the second century. As far as we know, this only happened once, but this account concerns a Christian woman that was executed. So they killed a donkey. Mm-hmm. First of all, they removed all the innards. They took the woman. They put her inside, much like Han Solo did for Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back. However, her head was left outside of the body while her... The head was left outside of the donkey while the rest of her body was sewed up inside the carcass. Then they would throw it out there into the hot sun where the woman would boil inside of the donkey's skin as vultures started eating through the donkey's belly into the woman as she suffered horrible smells from the rotting donkey and had no choice but to either be eaten by vultures or to starve to death.
Well, it's not as funny as Jim Carrey made it look in Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
And that could be called the LaDonkin.
Yes.
Lady Donkey, dead woman. I don't know if LaDonkin. You can say that. But it's also the inspiration for the donkey character from the Shrek film. So that's nice. Again.
That is a very...
Good comes from bad.
Yeah. Not a lot of stuff to do. I think that's what we've learned.
I mean, people talk about these days like, oh my God, look at ISIS. Look at these savages. Fucking this book, this execution book, we are the most civilized that we have ever been in all of human history.
And I want to say they are savages, and that's still better than what it used to be.
Yeah.
ISIS is terrible.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the best time we've ever had as a civilization.
Well,
Because now we have TV. So at least the ISIS guys sit and watch TV, and so they at least entertain at some point where they're not always just thinking of like, hey, you know what we could do? Why don't we just fucking haul out that donkey and stick that Catholic chick in there? And she's like, yeah.
But people think that we're better than they used to be, but, you know, somebody getting, I don't know why I keep on thinking about the elephant stepping on the head, but people used to watch that, and going back to Shivo, everyone was watching that too. I think that we're just as bad, and now it's just...
But the elephant, I will say again, elephant would have made for much better TV than the Shivo thing.
I agree.
Because she was just a paperweight woman.
Well, at that point... Yeah, she wasn't going anywhere.
She could at least have been funny. They could have put funny signs on her that said, like, jokes once a day. If you want to do that, if you want to bump your numbers, if you want to get the followers that you need to stay around, because that's what I've learned from NBC, is that you need Twitter followers to even to remotely succeed. So what you got to do, if you're paralyzed and you want to stay alive, put some funny signs on you and a funny hat.
Yeah.
Different pictures every day.
Yep, the Snickers company maybe for the Chivo situation could have worked out. Not going anywhere for a while. Of course, we know that she's not. And obviously, she's exceptionally hungry.
Just forcing the Snickers into her mouth and go like moving the jaw up and down. That would have been fun.
Then she turns into Danny DeVito.
Isn't that weird?
And then finally, we've got tied in a sack with animals. This was a Greek...
I mean, come on.
This was a Greek execution for patricide and matricide. That's killing your mother or your father.
Sure.
It began with just being tied in a wolfskin sack and thrown in the water. That was the original punishment for it.
This is why you don't ask a king what the punishment for whatever this crime might be, like what the punishment should be while he's having sex or in the middle of a dump. Because he's just like, tie him in a sack with animals. I'm busy.
Get out of my face.
Well, yeah, that's what happened is that Pompey the Great, he amended it to adding animals. He added a dog, a rooster, a viper, and an ape.
And let's just put a little peacock in there, too.
Just because they're proud and fun.
Yeah, for
the
color.
Other, but I would also say it's like, wasn't it just a hassle to get the animals together into the sack in the first place? Isn't that just a problem with like two soldiers that are forced to go and like, it's like, we've got to get a what? A viper and a rooster and a fucking monkey?
Yeah, it sounds like one of
the what with it? We put it in what? We put it in a big bag? I'm literally, my feet are rotting because I don't have shoes.
It sounds like a terrible mission in like an RPG game.
Oh, yeah.
Just go collect a chicken, a cow, a horse, and a dog. Put them in a bag.
Yeah, fetch quests.
Terrible.
So let's move on from executions and let's move on to death by science.
Ooh.
Now, science is a particularly merciless killer.
Yes. We knew it could blind people, but we did not know it could kill.
No, we did not. First up is Jesse Lazier. He was an expert in the yellow fever. They called it the American plague. It went through America during the 18th and 19th century. He, of course, was looking for a cure. So what he did is he secretly exposed himself to infected mosquitoes in order to further study the actual disease.
And what's sad is that he did all this just so that Becky in the office would want to date him.
Right, right.
And not everyone died from yellow fever. Most people just get fever, headache, chills, back pain, loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, and then they walk away and they never get it again. You only get yellow fever once. However, Lazier did not have the much-needed immune system to beat yellow fever, so his disease moved on to the second phase, which includes liver damage, jaundice.
Which is where the yellow fever part comes from.
Yep. Yeah. Abdominal pain, and finally bleeding from the mouth, eyes, and anus, and it all gets wrapped up with blood-filled vomit.
You know, that's really that's really the definition of just kicking yourself, huh?
Yeah.
If I could just go back and...
Yellow fever was also an unfortunately named not as big of a disco hit. That was an Asian theme. You know, but it was very, it's only heard in several states because apparently it was incredibly racist.
Ah, yes, yes, that would
make
sense.
But it had a good backbeat. Communities. I hope everybody has a yellow fever. Boom, boom, baby. Marry my daughter.
All right.
It was all just about a Japanese man getting someone to marry his daughter.
Oh, I see.
The whole song is just marry my daughter.
Marry my daughter. You take her from village. She was born with no hands or feet, but she very loyal because no one love her.
No, not bad. All right, I'll take her.
Next up is Dr. Henry Cotton. He ran the New Jersey State Hospital at Trenton, and he believed that insanity could be cured by removing various body parts and organs from patients.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on the money. He was years ahead of his time.
Genius. He'd start by removing all the teeth. Then he'd move on to the tonsils and the sinuses.
No, what I'm telling you, Wendy, is you got the crazy teeth. So we're gonna take them right out of your mouth there.
Then he would move on to the testicles.
Ooh, did he clarify what the if you remove the nuts, is that psychosis or is that just aggression?
I will say my nuts have made me make bad decisions, but I don't think they should be punished like that.
Right. Again, you might be into it though. There is that fetish of removing one's limbs.
Yes, there is. Yes,
absolutely. Again, someone be rock hard for this whole fucking thing.
I don't know if it was a phrenology type thing where he had a brain pan chart where he could tell which parts of the body caused which illnesses. It seems like he was fairly indiscriminate as far as what he removed.
Dyslexic, you say? We're going to have to take those pinkies. Everyone knows dyslexia lies in the pinkies.
I'm not feeling very happy recently. Oh, better fucking just gut out your belly button. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
It's either the belly button or the earlobes. I can never decide with that one.
On women, of course, he would remove the ovaries. He also removed the gallbladder, stomach, spleen, cervixes, colons. One example was an 18-year-old girl with agitated depression who successfully had her upper and lower molars extracted. She had a tonsillectomy, sinus drainage, treatment for an infected cervix, removal of intestinal adhesions, all without affecting improvement in her psychiatric condition. Then,
wow, really?
Oh, I can't believe it. Yeah, I just want to see the interviewer. It's like, well, welcome to the job. You're the new clinic's janitor. I'm not even going to get to know your name. You people are never here long. A couple of garbage trips and you tend to run out the front door.
And after all this, the remainder of her teeth were removed and she was sent home pronounced cured.
Cool.
I think it's a doctor that's because they probably never saw him again. So she's like, perfect.
Yep. Well, because Cotton, he did claim an 85% success rate.
Wow.
But you can
claim whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's the best part about just ripping people's teeth out and cutting out their bellies and stuff like that, because you could literally just be like, yeah, she's done.
All right.
And she's done. Get her out of here. Get her a snow cone. She's been great.
And you ask, how does this work in with death? 45% of Dr. Henry Cotton's patients died following the procedures.
That's actually a low number. I would have thought it would be quite higher.
Yeah. I mean, he's not as high as, like, say, Unit 730. Or Dr. Mengele.
Right.
But as far as sanctioned in the United States in the 20th century, pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you don't want a 45% death rate. No. That's not good.
No, it's not good odds. It's not good.
Not great. And either way, you're losing something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, let's move on. Still in Death by Science, let's move on to radiation. Now
this is the story that made me want to do this whole podcast. This is a fucking rough-ass story. And it just shows, you know, and again, no matter what your boss asks you to do while you're working at the nuclear power plant, you're allowed to question it.
Totally.
You're allowed to just think about yourself for a second, just for a second. So,
What would Homer Simpson do, you know? That's what I was saying.
So this is
technically this is what happened in the beginning credits of The Simpsons.
It really is.
Dropping radioactive material all over yourself, but we'll see what happens.
So how radiation actually kills you is that, unlike other toxins, our bodies don't detox radiation. We can't handle it. The damages radiation causes, it remains once it has inflicted its damage, it continues to damage as it reduces the ability of healthy cells to replicate, and it changes healthy cells into free radicals that in turn damage more healthy cells.
That's what the Beatles did to good kids in the 60s.
It's a true domino effect. It starts turning, your entire body just starts turning against you. It is cancer plus, let's call it that. So the worst nuclear radiation accident in Japan's history, until Fukushima, of course, was at a uranium processing facility in Takemura. And it was not an actual nuclear power plant like Three Mile Island or Chernobyl or Fukushima. It was a processing plant, which means that they were making the materials that were to go to the power plant eventually.
So they didn't get all the glitz and glamour of working at the actual nuclear power plant.
Right.
Yeah. It's still extremely dangerous.
More dangerous or less dangerous?
I'm not sure.
More dangerous, because you're going to see what happened. Why? Because they're doing it like they're making jam at grandma's fucking farm. Like, this is ridiculous. So basically, they were told to hand mix these uranium solutions into a tank, which was against any sort of approved procedure. And what the way they said is that they were doing the guy that we're going to talk about, Hisashi Auchi, which is also a rough name for what happened.
Yeah.
Basically, their jobs were to pour buckets of one solution into this gigantic tank of uranium, and they did it 7 times. What they didn't realize what they were doing, and it's basically they were doing it either too fast, something would happen. And
they weren't using the correct tank.
No, it sounds like they were using the exact same process someone at Dunkin' Donuts uses to fill up the iced coffee.
Yeah. And except it was like, Auchi woke up everyone and he's like, oh, time to make the radiation. Instead of time to make the donuts.
Right.
You know, but he was the guy who was literally holding the funnel.
Yeah.
That the stuff was going towards. He was up against the tank.
And so it's dropping all out of the funnel, getting all over his hands.
What happened is that the mixture went critical. Basically, they were sitting and watching, and they said a blue flash just went like, and they're just like, oh, no, is it firework? And then they started feeling sick. They started feeling like immediately nauseous and disoriented.
They looked fine, but they were being, what happened is that they had been bombarded by neutron beams.
Ooh, cool.
Which is the most powerful form of radioactive energy. So these guys were immediately fucked.
They were microwaved.
Yeah, they were microwaved essentially. And they looked fine. They started feeling sick immediately.
Except for Hisashi. Hisashi's skin, because the problem is he was right up against the thing.
Yeah.
He was right up against the thing. So the rest of them looked fine. They died literally a month later.
Yeah.
Hisashi, his skin was literally burnt off of his body. Yeah. On the front half of him.
He didn't get powers like powder did? He wasn't able to control electricity or anything like that?
I mean, I imagine his first thing was like, so, do I become Godzilla now?
Right.
Or something, is this cool? Is this good? Am I Spider-Man?
I also feel like he sounds a little bit like Cartman.
Yes.
So he was exposed to a radiation dose of about 20 sieverts.
And how many do you want?
None.
Zero.
Zero. Okay.
You're
sieverts.
Looking for zero.
Yeah. Okay. The mortality rate, to put this into perspective, I mean, I don't have time to go into what sieverts are.
Right.
I know what they are. Of course I know what they are.
Man.
But I don't have time to go into it right now.
Everybody knows that, Marcus.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time off of the air.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I talk about.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's my pet knowledge.
You don't have to tell me. If I hear one more damn thing about these Sieverts and all the information you know about them.
Piss my pants.
Oh, God, we know all of the information you know already, and it's a lot.
I know.
Good Lord.
So the mortality rate for patients exposed to levels exceeding 8 Sieverts is 100%.
So he got 20, so it's like 90 million percent. So yeah. He just basically turned into soup.
Yeah. There's no way that this guy is surviving. He has a 100% mortality rate. But they say how his body looked. They say at first glance his body was bright red, like he'd been scalded with water.
That is kind of cool. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Is it? Is that cool?
Yeah, it's a little bit cool.
Like, you want to be cherry red on the outside? You want to look like a firebird? Yeah, I think so.
If it didn't hurt like a whole bunch, yeah, it would be kind of awesome. And then it would be like, hey, kids, is it dark in here? Not anymore because I'm full of light, you know?
So no skin remained on his front side. It had just sloughed off. And you know how much I love an opportunity to say sloughed off.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, they were laughing because they was like, it's like we could take his face and make it into a pizza. Oh, fripping in the air. Oh, no, it's all prego.
That is kind of a funny thing to do.
Seriously hurt.
Yeah. That's sad. That's sad there at the end there, yeah.
However, his entire backside, the skin was completely normal. It was only his front side that was so fucked up at first. However, the intestines, once they opened him up, the intestines were swollen, and they said that it looked like a writhing serpent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? Is it was just shaking around, moving?
They were literally going like seizing because his gastrointestines weren't functioning. They were literally full of shit and seizing because he wasn't doing well.
Right. Looking like the snake.
Basically, it destroyed his DNA.
It rearranged his chromosomes.
So if you're going to commit murder and you don't want your DNA to be found at the scene, just stand next to a nuclear thing.
But like every mucus membrane, every mucus membrane in his body, it disappeared, which is it means his eyeballs, his nose, inside of his nose, he was all fucked up.
He alive?
Yes.
Well, this is the thing: is they thought he was dead when it first happened. They thought that he was like, well, his brain is fried, he's gone.
Right.
It was 7 days in. Apparently, he was like laying there, and then finally opened his eyes, and he was like, "I am not your guinea pig, please." Let me die. And they were like basically keeping him alive, looking at his organs and shit, but he was totally conscious.
Yeah.
And then he was hanging around laughing. And they said they would laugh and joke and they would do all this stuff. Meanwhile, he's sitting there like the picture of him. He looks like David Cross from the Mr. Show sketch when he jumps into the vat of acid to commit suicide. Like straight, I'm gonna put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks
like Kim Chi. And not in the delicious kind.
No, he's a little cooked, a little overcooked.
He's a sausage man,
yeah,
to be sure. And keeping it alive, they kept him alive for way longer than was even close to being ethical. On the 59th day, he died, and they resuscitated him.
Oh yeah, and
because that's amazing.
Every time they bring him back three times, every time they brought him back to life, he died. And they brought him back to life, and he died because basically the government was using this to learn what happens when you get 20 sieverts of radiation.
And like any government medical test, it always just ends with the report being like, really sucked for him. Yeah. They hated it.
He never went cool. You know what I mean? I think at some point we thought maybe he'd turn into some sort of like cool werewolf, like in Teen Wolf,
right,
or like he would become like the Hulk or like the Thing or something. But in the end, he just turned into human soup. So
I even sewed some hair onto him. Just thinking maybe that would like start a growth thing. Nothing.
I put a fun wig on him and I put some fake teeth, like chatter teeth in there because I thought that would be funny, but instead it was terrifying.
I mean,
ghoulish, I would say.
It's a little funny though.
Here's the strange thing about it though. The only one of his internal organs that did not, you know, atrophy and turn in on itself and eventually, you know, fall apart, his heart.
And look at that.
You know, it's just like my football coach said, the strongest muscle of the body really is the heart.
It really is. Yeah, you can take 20 sieverts of nuclear energy and everything will fall apart except for the only organ that keeps you alive. The only one that you wish would stop working.
Yeah. Yeah, he died. His entire body was destroyed from the inside out, and it was a slow, painful and unpreventable death.
That's sort of what Henry's doing to himself.
Mm-hmm. But I'm doing it with booze and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And a bit of an interlude, and going back to execution for a little bit, of course, there were many people that were responsible for these people's death, and many people that were responsible for keeping this man alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the punishment in Japan for a businessman or anyone in a high position of power when they fucked up?
No pee that day. They don't get peed on.
Harry Carey.
The announcer went and discussed a baseball game. He okay, announced a baseball game.
Okay,
you
okay.
Shame yourself the way you do, or you just are shame upon your family and your ancestors.
And they are. If Harry Carey shames you, that would cut deep. That might stop your heart. Harry Carey's the only man who could do it.
Maybe. Okay, I'll pronounce it differently. Hari Kari.
Harikari.
I see.
So what happens with harikari? It's ritualistic suicide. Usually it took place in a temple. The victim would strip to the waist and plunge a short razor-edged sword into the left side of his stomach and then pull the blade forward horizontally. Then he took the blade out, and when he pulled the blade upwards, a duly appointed official known as the kaishaku stepped forward and decapitated the dude. One observer said, "Complete silence followed, broken only by the hideous noise of blood gushing out of the inert keep before us, which but a moment before had been a brave and chivalrous man."
This was one of the fellows who harikari'd himself.
No, this is one of the fellows who witnessed a harikari.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, obviously yeah, the harikari guy.
It didn't come out and sound like ABBA when the blood was coming out of him. That's weird.
Now let's get into, I mean, speaking of suicides, let's talk about a dumb death.
Okay.
And a particularly brutal, let's say a sacrificial type death. This took place at Yellowstone National Park.
Mm.
Now, Yellowstone National Park, found in abundance there, hot springs everywhere, and these bubbling cauldrons of steam and boiling water, they measure in temperature about 150 degrees Fahrenheit, and a lot of them are in the 185 to 205 degree Fahrenheit range.
Will they give you a, will your skin fall off?
Your skin will fall off.
Your skin will fall off.
So there have been 19 scalding deaths recorded in connection with Yellowstone's hot springs since 1870. But on July 20th, 1981, 24-year-old David Allen Kirwan from La Canada, California, was driving through Yellowstone's Fountain Paint Pot thermal area with his friend Ronald Ratliff and Ratliff's dog, Moosey.
Now, Moosey the dog just kind of accidentally fell in the springs, and that's how they died. This guy was just being too nice.
Moosey the dog.
Moosey the dog. And I don't like both it. From La Canada, California.
Yeah, I don't like Moosey the dog. It's the wrong animal. It's not a Moosey. It's a dog.
This is my dog, Kitten. Yeah. Oh, isn't that funny?
Nah.
Isn't that fucking funny? My life's empty. Yeah. My wife died.
That's right.
We named the dog Kitten.
It's worse than naming your dog Gary. You know, I hate real names on dogs. Or, yeah, when it's not a dog, naming it Moosey.
Yeah. So at about 1 p.m., the two park the truck to get out and take a closer look at the hot spring. Moosey escaped from the truck and ran towards the nearby Celestine Pool, which has a temperature that is measured at over 200 degrees Fahrenheit, and jumped in.
Oh,
I don't want to break the mood here, but I do want to say, I mean, I guess that's going to be one hot dog.
You are too much.
Son of a bitch.
That's the saddest thing we've heard all day. Poor Moosey. Yes. I'm sorry for making fun of your name, Moosey. I didn't realize that you were passed.
So Kirwan and Ratliff rushed over to the pool to aid the terrified dog as it was yelping and trying to get out. And Kirwan, his attitude indicated that he was about to go into the spring after it. And according to bystanders, several people tried to warn him by yelling at him, "Do not jump in."
Right.
And he shouted, "Like hell I won't," and took two
steps. Which is just the only way that sentence can be said.
Right.
In an impenetrable southern accent.
Yeah, you can, "Like hell I won't,
like
sir.
Like hell I won't.
Like hell I won't. You ain't stopping me.
I'm going to go in there. I'm going to save my dog. I named it Dumb Lassie."
So he took two steps into the pool and then dove headfirst into the boiling spring. He swam out to the dog and tried to take it back to shore. He then disappeared underwater, let go of the dog, and tried to climb out of the pool. Ratliff helped pull Kirwan out of the hot spring, resulting in second-degree burns to his own feet. And another visitor led Kirwan to the sidewalk as Kirwan reportedly muttered,
"That was stupid. How bad am I? That was a stupid thing I did."
And that is a direct quote from that man.
Well, maybe he was just trying to get a kiss from his friend Ratliff, like that boy did in the movie Sandlot, from that beautiful...
Yeah, Kirwan came out of it blind, and when another park visitor tried to remove one of his shoes, his skin, which was already sloughing off, came off with it. He sustained third-degree burns to 100% of his body, including his head, and died the following morning at a Salt Lake City hospital.
Hey, all right, there you go.
Ugh, at least he died. At least
I know, that's
kept
the...
alive for 60 days, like Ouchie was.
Exactly.
Poor Ouchie.
That's how disturbing this episode is. That was actually top 11 of the deaths we've talked about so far.
But I will
maybe
say, at least Ouchie's name wasn't like Boo Boo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to kiss the boo boo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on my lips. Stuff came off on my lips.
It's his lips. They're on my lips. It's weird. Why am I nauseous? Oh, just being around him?
Yeah.
All right. So we talk quite a bit about serial killers here on the show,
yep,
but we don't really get a chance to get to the people who just do one murder that's really, really, really beautiful. Brutal.
Yeah, brutal. The other B word, Marcus.
Yeah, the other B word.
What is wrong with your brain?
Nothing.
The third B word.
The third B word. Brutal.
Brutal. Murder is brutal, never beautiful.
Brutiful.
Okay.
These next couple of sections, like we've done before, these are kind of like tap out sections. This is going to be some more of the. This is probably some of the more extreme things we've covered on this show. Are these next two stories?
Mm-hmm.
These are bad ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's rough out there for people. Yeah. We're bad. Humans are bad.
Yeah.
And they gotta go.
So You're asking for mass genocide.
I'm just saying humans are not doing well. We're not good.
Well, I will say we're doing fairly well because these stories are outlier stories. These aren't normal.
No, yes, of course not. Both stories that happened in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe it wasn't normal for the 90s. Weird decade.
I mean, TGIF was on the air. How could everyone be so mad?
Well, that was
Stephen Urkel.
That's why they were so thankful it was Friday, because Monday through Thursday, everyone murdering each other.
And torturing.
Yeah.
But you're right. When it was time to sit down and suck down some Pizza Hut pizza and some Coca-Cola and watch Family Matters, the world was at peace.
All right.
That's
so
true.
Now this is the story of Kellyanne Bates.
Oh.
This is pretty rough.
Yeah. This was in England in 1996. Going back a few years, in 1993, a man with the last name of Smith.
Now, this guy was a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
I forget his name, Samuel Smith?
Yeah, something like that.
He is this disgusting dude who has basically had a history of beating women, who was this fucking 30-year-old guy who only slept with 12 to 15-year-old girls, but not in, like, the molesty way like it is now. It was, like, in the old school, like, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis marrying his cousin kind of way.
Yeah, like Matthew McConaughey kind of way there in... Reality Bites, the name of that show. Oh, they keep the same age. He says,
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He was
kind
of like he was kind of like that character, but real. So that made him an abuser and a molester.
Right, right.
So he started a relationship in 1993 with a girl named Kelly Bates when she was 14 years old. About two years later, she left school, and Bates moved in with Smith at his home in Furnival Road in Gorton.
In Gorton? No one's ever been like, my life is getting better. I'm moving to Gorton.
Moving on up in Gorton. I literally was living in a bucket for a long time, so I'm just happy to have this urinal house.
Yeah.
I love living in the porter potty.
So, of course, Kelly had concealed the relationship from her parents. They didn't know what was going on, and she'd essentially just ran away and left. But on April 17th, 1996, Smith showed up at a police station and told them that he'd accidentally killed his girlfriend during an argument in the bath. And he claimed that she had inhaled bath water, and he tried to save her, but unfortunately, she died. Now, when police went back to their address, they found, of course, Bates naked and dead in the bedroom, and her blood was found in every single room in the house, and the postmortem examination revealed that she had over 150 separate injuries on her body. During the last month of her life, she had been kept bound in the house, sometimes tied by her hair to radiators or chairs. Other times, she was tied with a ligature around her neck. Let's go through this laundry list of injuries.
This is a bad laundry list. You know what I mean? Like, if you were going to the store with this list, turn around and go back home because you need a nap.
Yeah, that's an insane thing to go to a store wanting to buy.
There was scalding to her buttocks and left leg, burns on her thigh caused by the application of a hot iron, a fractured arm, multiple stab wounds caused by knives, forks, and scissors, stab wounds inside her mouth, crush injuries to both hands, mutilation of her ears, nose, eyebrows, mouth, lips, and genitalia, wounds caused by a shovel and pruning shears, both her eyes were gouged out, and then later stab wounds were found in her empty eye sockets, and she had been partially scalped.
Now, like, what? I mean, this isn't like a burnt dinner argument.
Can we just say that when he went to the police station, he's not good at improv? Because none of those things indicate drowning.
She did actually die by drowning, strangely enough. He was telling the truth about that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's people are psychopaths. And this is the problem is that, again, you can see this in terms like he didn't have the traditional thing of being a serial killer. But that this is obviously a person that was going to do a crime like this eventually. And he had been building to this crime, much like serial killers do.
The pathologist determined that her eyes had been removed not less than 5 days and not more than 3 weeks before her death. So again, it's possible that she had been living without eyes for 3 weeks before she actually died.
People are always saying, oh, the heart, like we were discussing earlier, it's the most important thing about the body. I think the heart's a little bit of a dick. I feel like as soon as you lose both eyes, the heart should just be like, oh, I'm out.
I'm just going to put you out of your misery. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's quit.
The heart is sort of like a mentally disabled person. It's always full speed. And it's always like, I'm going until I stop. I'm going until I need to eat.
Oh,
you know?
God.
Smith, he denied the murder. He claimed that Bates, quote, would put me through hell winding me up. And he also claimed that Bates had taunted him about his dead mother and had a bad habit of hurting herself to make it look worse on me. And when he asked to explain why he had blinded, stabbed, and battered Bates, he said that she had dared him to do it, challenging him to do her harm.
Let's be fair. He was double dog dared.
I was going to say this would have to be a triple dog dare.
But, oh, yeah. You know. And, of course, after the trial, the evidence, the photos that were shown and the testimony that was given, it was so bad that every single member of the jury was given complimentary therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was one of the worst things I had read until the next story.
I actually think that jury should have resembled an airplane with the barf bag and the oxygen thing just in case, you know, you just pull it down.
Yep, and the last one that we're going to cover.
This last story I literally could barely get through because when I was reading it last night. Because of how horrific it is.
Yeah.
So just know that.
And for our younger lady listeners, and of course even the older ones, if you're with a fellow who's a dickhead, leave him.
Yes.
And punch him in the nuts, like, honestly, and destroy him.
You don't deserve any sort of abuse, either verbal, emotional, or physical. If you ever experience any sort of abuse whatsoever, get out, because it's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make him buy you dinner every now and again. Good God, these guys out there not wanting to buy dinner anymore. Bunch of schmucks.
Well, the last person that we're going to talk about, the last death, this is definitely by far the worst death that we've ever, the worst and the most prolonged death that we've ever covered.
Yeah.
A girl named Junko Furuta. She was known in Japan, or her case was known in Japan, as the concrete encased high school girl murder case.
That's a long name.
In Japanese, I bet it sounds a lot better.
Sure, yes. That's
and
true.
It's probably much shorter. That is, of course, the Japanese to English translation.
Right.
So on November 25th, 1988, she left school and was walking home. And as she was walking home, she was kidnapped by a group of young men, including a 17-year-old who was identified as Jo and would later be given the surname Kamisaku. and they kept her captive in the house owned by the parents of Kamisaku in Tokyo.
They kind of have a fucked up view of women in these countries sometimes, where it's just like they talk about it in Japan and China, where they have to like be on separate parts of the train together, because it's very intense, their gender relations,
their sexual fetishes, and what they want to do to women can only be best described by animation. That's how insane it is. They don't even have human porn. That doesn't get them off.
It's weird. It's very strange.
But they still blur the ding dongs and the vaginas on their smut films.
There's nothing that grosses me out harder about Asian porn than the fact that they blur out the faces and the dicks
it's
and
just
the pussies.
Weird.
Yeah. It makes my skin crawl.
It's really
it just
weird.
Looks like they're both dead.
It really does.
So this girl, she didn't know her abductors at all. And as far as, you know, everyone knows, she had absolutely no connection with them. She was just randomly taken off the street. And of course, once they kidnapped her, the kidnappers made the girl call her mother and tell her that she had run away from home, but she was with a friend and wasn't in danger. And he also convinced her to pose as one of the boy's girlfriends when the parents of the house where she was held were around. But the parents knew something was up.
Right.
But they didn't say anything at all because they were terrified of their son.
And we discussed ISIS earlier. That's the similar thing they have with like Foley when they have to give their speeches and stuff. She was in that. She did it to stay alive. You know?
What began on November 22nd, 1988, lasted for 44 days. This is the worst torture that we will ever talk about. I don't know if anything is going to top this.
No, it's really bad. It's everything that happened to her. It's like it's a culmination of every single crime that every serial killer has ever done.
Yeah. All right. Just go through the list real quick.
Day one, November 22nd, 1988. Fed cockroaches to eat and urine to drink. Forced to masturbate. Burned with cigarette lighters and had fireworks set off in her ears, mouth, and vagina. Foreign objects inserted into her vagina and anus, including a still lit light bulb. Day 11, December 1st, 1988, severely beat up countless times. Her face was held against a concrete ground and jumped on. Her hands were tied to the ceiling, and her body was used as a punching bag until her internal organs were damaged, which made blood run from her mouth. Dumbbells were dropped onto her stomach. She vomited when she tried to drink water as her stomach couldn't accept it. She tried to escape and was punished by cigarette burnings on her arms. Flammable liquid was poured on her feet and legs and then lit on fire. A bottle was inserted into her anus. Day 20, December 10th, 1988. She was unable to walk properly due to severe leg burns. She was beat with bamboo sticks. Fireworks were inserted into her anus and lit. Hands were smashed by weights and her fingernails were cracked. She was beaten with a golf club. Cigarettes were inserted into her vagina and she was forced to drink her own urine as they all laughed at her.
That's not funny.
No. She was beaten with iron rods repeatedly. It was wintertime and she was forced to sleep outside in the balcony. Skewers of grilled chicken were inserted into her vagina and anus, causing bleeding. She almost escaped on this day, but one of the boys caught her just in time as she was trying to call for help. They punished her by taunting her with a candle flame and then finally dousing her legs in lighter fluid and set her on fire as punishment. She went into convulsions, and the boys would later say that they thought she was faking a seizure, so they set her on fire again and put it out. Day 30.
How did she live? This is my question. It's like, it's our bodies. It shows how resilient and powerful the human body is, that you can live. If you have the will to do it, you can't. It's insane.
Day 30. Hot wax was dripped onto her face. Her eyelids were burned by a cigarette lighter. She was stabbed with sewing needles in her chest. Her left nipple was cut off and destroyed with pliers. A hot light bulb was inserted into her vagina. She had heavy bleeding from her vagina due to the insertion of scissors, and her injuries were so severe that it took her over an hour to crawl downstairs and use the bathroom, and her eardrums were severely damaged. And then finally, day 44, at the very end of it, on January 4th, 1989, the four boys beat her mutilated body with an iron barbell, using a loss at the game of Mahjong as a pretext. She was bleeding from her mouth and nose, and they put a candle flame to her face and eyes. And then lighter fluid was poured onto her legs, arms, face, and stomach, and then she was lit on fire. The final torture lasted for 2 hours, and Junko Furuta finally died later that day.
All right. Jesus Christ. That's very intense. Not bad parents. I will say that. Definitely want
And then less than 24 hours later, on January 5th, 1988, the killers hid Junko's body in a 55-gallon drum, filled it with concrete, and then disposed of the drum in a tract of reclaimed land in Kyoto.
Right. And no, what was the punishment for the kids? Now, 17 was the youngest age, or was the average age roughly 17?
Roughly 16, 17. These are all teenagers. Okay. The boys were arrested and tried as adults, but because of the Japanese handling of crimes committed by juveniles, their identities were concealed by the court. For his participation in the crime, one participant served 8 years in a juvenile prison.
Jesus Christ.
He was released in August of 1999. The leader received a 20-year sentence, and which is the second highest.
Do we know the
possible
names of these guys?
Apparently, a magazine released their names, saying that, you know, men of this.
These are the guys.
If you're in Japan, if you're in Japan listening, I know we have quite a few Japan listeners. Check out the names of these people and figure out a way to punish them.
Go get them. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's the same way, but kind of like what happened with Issei Sagawa, the cannibal that came out of Japan and was served, where it's like they have very weird, their legal system's very weird of what they let people get away with. Because what are you going to do? Because it's the problem is I don't think because they don't work on like case by case examples. It's like all of the everything is decided sort of like how it's always been decided, especially. I don't know. This is I literally couldn't read this.
Yeah, being a woman didn't help her out one bit. You know, it's a sexist society in a lot of ways, especially in 1988. You know.
The other two guys that were involved in this, one of them got a 5 to 9 year term, and the other one got a 7 year term.
There are people serving 25 to life for stealing a Snickers bar 3 times here in California, you know?
Oh, yeah, and selling weed and shit like that. Right. Yeah. It's a horrible story.
Oh, and by the way, I also forgot to mention that she was raped over 400 times.
Right.
Ah, well, that's kind of in there.
Go to the cavecomedyradio.com and buy some shirts. I don't know how else to get out of this.
cavecomedyradio.com/podcast on the left. You can go there. If you give a $25 donation here in the United States or $40 international, we can send you a fucking awesome goddamn
silly stuff
t-shirt.
What I will say is this is beginning October. This is literally October 1st.
October 1st.
This is the first week. You're not even getting this. We're just dipping our toe in. This is it, man. This is fucking, it's end times, man.
I'm going to say we dipped our knee in. I think we went up to the knee today. Three more episodes of this, and we would be we'll be in over our heads, I'm sure.
Yes.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to be speaking of the rest of the month. We're going to be doing our yearly listener pasta episodes, and we've already been getting a ton of emails in from all of you people. But we also want to do, just like we did last year, we want to have some of you guys call in on Skype, and we can listen to your scary stories and put them on the air. So if you've got a pitch for us, if you've got something, a story that you want to tell, and you think that you can come on here and spin us a hell of a yarn, then email us at cavecomedyradio@gmail.com.
Yes, we're trying to get them done over the next 2 weeks. So as fast as you can get them in. And also, this episode, it's really hard to plug A to Z.
I don't think you got it. I think NBC is doing enough work plugging your show.
Henry, I saw your face in a fucking taxi cab yesterday. I think they're plugging you all right.
I was watching Sunday Night Football last night, or Sunday Night Football this last Sunday, and Henry's all over the commercials. He's out of the 4 scenes that they show 2. And Sunday Night Football, major ratings, so a lot of people said, who the hell is that fat guy? this past Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think anyone who made it through the concrete high school girl murder is going to be watching A to Z Thursdays on ABC. NBC, excuse me. NBC.
Who knows, you know?
Yeah, be good to yourselves and be good to other people. And yeah.
And don't forget, this Sunday on October 5th is the Cave Comedy Radio Sausage Fest.
Yep.
It's going to be one hell of a time. It's a stand-up starting at 5 p.m. going until 10 p.m. Live podcast starting at 6 p.m. going until 10 p.m. Stand-ups upstairs, podcast downstairs. And then finally, at the very end of it, the Cowman, which features Hold McNeely from the Roundtable of Gentlemen and myself, going to be playing an hour-long set downstairs.
And again,
people have been already getting their shirts.
Yeah. Love those selfies.
Everyone's
beautiful.
Everyone's so attractive.
Beautiful.
Oh yeah, post pictures of yourself with you. I love seeing people wearing these t-shirts.
No, it's been a great, I love those shirts, and I'm so happy that people enjoy them.
I'm humbled.
Yes.
I'd say I'm actually humbled by seeing our fans wear these shirts. You guys are the fucking best.
Every October 12th through the 17th, I'm going to be doing an hour show of some kind up here at the Creek as well. So for that week, so come out to one of those shows. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, we'll do a Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, we're doing Satan's work this month. This is our time. We're welcoming him to Earth. Do you know what you see? Do something satanic for people every day. Like if you see someone who looks frown, blow some weed smoke in their face.
Right.
You mean you see someone who needs a smile? Just go over there and tell them, be like, hey, you know what? I'll touch your dick.
Well, you don't have to say I'll touch your dick. You know.
And, of course, Hal Gein.
And I do think if Satan was coming back tonight, he probably went back to hell because of this podcast. He was like, I don't know what they're doing on Earth, but I think hell is a nicer place to be. And, of course, hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail me!
And may goose delicious.